69. And we have a Final Four, and it features the Duke Blue Devils. All four and, one seeds.
Yeah, I was going to say, the rest of the one seeds, too.
For the first time since 2008, I said in the preview show, all one seeds have not made the Final Four since 2008 when it was in San Antonio. Guess where it is this year? San Antonio. History repeats itself. Hopefully Duke can... It's two more to go.
Big game, though. Tough team.
I need it. I need it.
Like, this is probably the hardest game you're going to play all tournament.
Yeah, I think it's the hardest game that we're going to play all year. Just
most
consider,
definitely. Are you
just
kidding?
Considering the fact that...
potentially only two games left.
Yeah, well, there's two games. Yeah, exactly. But we will dive into a Sweet 16 and Elite 8 recap, as well as a Final Four preview. This is our last episode before
national championship.
We crown a national champion. So next episode, you're getting either a happy me or the same old me wanting to kill myself.
Who knows? Not literally.
Not literally.
Sports get you.
Another news. Baseball.
It's back. I am so happy it's back.
Baseball's here, baby. The Yankees started out hot, and now they're not.
you started out too hot to continue the streak you were on. I mean, it's like...
I agree. I also feel like the team that we're playing is very good in the second series.
Well, Milwaukee's had their own problems to start the year.
That's a fucking disaster over there. But, yeah, we're going to dive into Yankees. We're going to dive into Mets. Extensions galore. Jackson Merrill takes a contract. So does Christian Campbell, the Boston Red Sox, who just hit his first career home run in Baltimore, if I'm not mistaken.
It wasn't opposite field. He pulled it down the line.
Ketel Marte also gets a pretty big extension, which kind of leads me to believe agents are trying to get those extensions done and make sure their client gets paid to prevent the inevitable, for just to give
it's
them their
coming.
Money until the inevitable.
Coming.
The lockout's coming.
2026. It's looming.
It's coming. Enjoy this now.
Maybe they turn
if you
around.
Thought the
maybe
last
everyone gets a deal and everyone's
maybe,
happy.
Maybe, because, I mean, like, the details of the Merrill contract is, like, he gets, like, his big bonus, and he gets $300 million now up until he's 32 years old, and if he's still balling, he can go make another $300 million.
Yeah.
So, it's a sign of things to come. But
the Christian Campbell deal is, like, an NHL contract, though. That thing is, nuts. 8 years, $60 million, whatever it was.
It's like the fucking Atlanta Braves, who, speaking of, suck.
Are awful.
Suck.
Which
0-7.
Is great to see.
There was at one point where they were, like, one of 30-something.
32 with runners in scoring position.
One for 32 with runners in scoring position.
That was of last night, by the way. Of last night.
That was before. Of last night. There was also another stat. I believe they had...
Their team batting average is 132 right now.
Yes, there's that. Oh, they have more players suspended for steroids than wins. Jerickson Profar gets suspended 80 games. He is now ineligible for the postseason roster. If you're Alex Anthopoulos, come on, man.
You brought him in, filled out a role.
You do nothing all offseason, and that's like your one move, and everyone's like, oh, fuck.
And now he's gone.
And now he's gone. So now you're back to square one. Dodgers and Padres undefeated. The Braves winless. We will get to all that
Dodgers
fun stuff.
Dodgers look fucking unbelievable.
Very happy.
Shohei did it last night again.
Yeah. This is good. And they just got, what's his name from the A's? Esteban Ruiz.
Yeah.
One of the best base stealers in baseball.
I don't get it.
Cherry on top.
Conforto's back, apparently.
Cherry on top. That's all, really. I mean, the Rangers and the Islanders are just unspeakable. I mean, Perot played. That was fun.
Yeah, I mean, we could get to the Duclair stuff if you want.
Duclair is taking a step back from the team.
Patrick Roy had some choice words, and I don't disagree with him. I really don't. He played horrible for, like, the 10th game in a row. So
Ovi, three more to go.
Yeah.
Can he get
Gretzky's
it done?
Traveling with him now.
Oh, really? Oh, God.
Oh, they played the Islanders twice to finish the year, so you'll probably do it against the Islanders.
Oh, thank God. Thank God. It's not against the Rangers. Thank
God. Fun fact. Alex Ovechkin has only played against, I think, 29 goaltenders who he has never scored on. Ilya Sorokin is one of them. And he plays in the same fucking division. Isn't that crazy?
That is actually pretty absurd.
And he's been in the league for like 5 years. I think that's crazy.
Yeah, he's been there for a while, yeah. Or what, they just like got lucky and it was just Varlamov all over?
Well, probably, but I trust me, I've been to some games where Ovi scored goals. So I was just going to say. Last game I went to, Stan, he scored a hat trick in the second and third period to win the game 6-5. Yes. The Owls were up like 4-1. It was awful.
I just saw Trey McBride just got extended, 4 years, $76 million, which then reminded me, we need to talk about the new NFL rules. Are they going to ban the tush push? God's great. God's great. if they ban the tush push, God's great. Overtime, it is for every overtime game, it is now the playoff overtime rules where each team gets possession for 10 minutes. And I believe that let me think about this. You want the ball second because then you can go for two if you're down seven, if you want to get ballsy. If I'm not mistaken, and then because if you go for two, if they don't score,
then you win. Yeah, and you need a field goal to win.
We seem to call it the Shanahan rule because I don't know how you not. I don't know how you don't prepare for that.
They don't know the rules. They didn't know the rules.
I don't know how, still to this day, it just like doesn't register with me that like Kyle Shanahan in the playoffs knew about the overtime rules, knew his team was good enough to make the Super Bowl. They're in the Super Bowl, and he has like no idea like how the overtime rules work.
Yeah, that's. I mean, you get there, and you're like,
and
what do we do?
I would say that he didn't know how the overtime rules worked. He didn't know like, ooh, like should I defer? Should I receive? Like, there was really
you got to send the guy out there who knows the answer. I mean,
yeah, God, that was pretty. That was bad. I completely forgot about that. Anyway, so let's get
Geno
it started.
Geno Smith signed today, didn't he?
He got an extension.
Yeah.
Yes. So it's a 2-year extension. So it looks like he's going to be the QB, the future for Vegas, which isn't bad. It isn't bad.
I know, but of the future is.
I mean, the future is a bad term, but like, I mean, Tom Brady knows what he's doing. Like, even like during like the coaching carousel where it was like.
Oh, does Brady know what he's doing? Because Derek Jeter ruined the Marlins. So
He has a lot of pull over there, Tom. A lot of pull.
Doesn't seem legal.
It doesn't, but it is somehow, some way it is. So let's dive right into it. The Final Four. We'll start with a quick Elite Eight recap. Let's start with the obvious. Duke takes down Bama 85-65 at the Prudential Center. For those that don't know, I was at the game against Arizona on Thursday. Top experience in my life. Like, I'm not even kidding. Just going to a fucking tournament game within itself is just like insane. So many Mormons were everywhere because BYU was playing Bama. I had the over in that game.
You guys want a beer?
That was like the plus though too. Like all the beer, like the lines for beer, they were short.
Yeah, and if you're sitting next to a Mormon, you're rooting for Bama, you might as well just start chugging it in their face, go a little showboat action.
We were sitting in front of two BYU fans, and we were just curious. We were like, wow. Like, so many questions that we're not going to ask.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's a tough scene to ask those questions at a BYU Bama game.
Yeah, and they were especially that they were getting killed and like all this. Bama hit 25 threes in that game against BYU.
The guy
in front of me was like acting like he's never seen a 3-pointer hit in his life. He was like, "Oh, another one! Oh."
BYU does.
It was like, yeah. I was like, God, this could not get any more white. Like, this is really.
Oh.
They really insult Duke for being the white guy.
Holy
school.
Smokes.
My God. My God, man. Oh, Jesus.
What do you expect?
What do you expect? Yeah, but anyway, Duke takes down Bama 85-65. This was Duke's game from the start. As soon as Cooper Flagg hit that three to open the game, they did not look back. And it wasn't even Cooper Flagg's best game. Like, if we're being honest, like, Flag only had, he only had 16 on 6 of 16 shooting. Con Knipple was the story here. 21 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 6 of 15 from the field. Perfect from the free throw line and also shooting 50% from 3. It feels like, and Tim, I've seen a lot of people say this. if Cooper Flagg didn't exist, and by didn't exist, I mean was not on Duke and was on, let's
just say, still be here, but
I'm not saying that. Will the Knipple, like, Duke white guy hate still be there for Con Knipple? Like, I've seen a lot of people saying that, like, I've seen a lot of Duke haters being like, I'm struggling to find a way to hate this team just because, you know, Cooper Flagg's just that good.
That's just like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe. Maybe. But it's, yeah, I don't know. Who wants to live in hypotheticals? This Duke team's real good. I know. And they, this is going to be the toughest matchup they've had all year. We said it earlier.
It is.
They're going to have to go punch for punch with Houston.
And also, it was the defensive game plan for Duke against Bama was incredible because, you know, Bama's more of a drive and kick team, and they were able to take away those drives and basically have Bama shoot standstill threes and deny the drive and kick, and you took that away. Because let's all be honest here. I don't think Bama's really a shooting team. They're very good at shooting, but they're not known for their shooting. They're more known for their driving. And there was one play.
Getting the triangle offense active, Stan. The Brian Lotto plays.
There was one play where Coop, like, stonewalled Mark Sears and forced a travel. And if you didn't know me, if you were at the Pearl River Saloon and you didn't know me and you saw me freak out after that play and get insanely hyped, you would have called the police. But there was... we're going to the Final Four. Two more to go. We're going to the Final Four. Let's dive into the next game that happened. Florida, Texas Tech. Walter Clayton Jr. My God.
Iona transfer? Question mark?
Iona. The fact that the guy was a zero-star recruit coming out of high school. Florida offered him in football. And he goes to Iona, bets on himself, plays under Rick Pitino. Pitino saw the talent. And let's all be honest here. Danis Jenkins is a point guard, is on the Detroit Pistons. And now Walter Clayton is probably going to be a first-round pick. Iona had an NBA backcourt.
Yeah.
No one knew.
Well, I got some little insider trading here. So Pete actually was in class and somewhat knew. He actually did a project with Walter Clayton at Iona. Yeah. So what I heard was Pitino wanted him to come to St. John's, but he actually
I remember. So it was coming down when he entered the portal, because he was the reigning MAC player of the year. It was coming down to St. John's in Florida. And I was shocked that he went to Florida. Then I realized, like, okay, he's from Florida.
This is what else this is what he has a kid in Florida, so he wanted to be closer to. I'm telling you,
is that
this
known?
Is that known? That's what Pete told me.
Is that known that he has a kid?
This is what Pete told me. This is a kid who went. It goes to Iona and was in a group project with this kid. It's a small school. Everyone knows everyone. This is what I heard.
Yeah, all the MAC schools. Everyone knows everyone.
This is what I heard. He said that he has a kid in Florida and he wanted to be closer to the kid.
Close to the kid. Thank God.
Yes.
Whew. I was like, oh my God, I do not want to be exposing something.
Breaking news. No, I mean, he wanted to be closer to his kid. That's why he chose Florida. So he could have been on that St. John's team as well. And I don't know, things could have been different. But Florida got lucky, and there you go.
Florida got very lucky. I just can't believe that. I don't know. Like, that turnaround shot. Like, the balls of that man.
I would have took it, but I'm not.
Literally, like, drive in. See nothing is there and just like step back, like not even step back, basically just like walk or turn around to the 3-point line, turn around and shoot it. Unreal. But also, Texas Tech, you got to make your free throws, man.
Oh, well, that's we've been saying it all March.
Make your free throws, they're free. I will say, also, Elijah Martin, too. Like, I know he didn't really have the best of games. Oh, yeah, Thomas Hawk off the bench. I believe he had a double-double. Yes, he did. 20 points, 11 rebounds off the bench as well. Just insane work. Next up, Houston takes down Tennessee 69-50. This game was all Houston from the jump. Tennessee held to 15 points at halftime.
Defense, man.
Defense kills. And it was almost... Am I sad? Is it sad to say that I just, like, saw it coming?
No, everyone did.
Like, Houston's going to fucking, like, how is this game a 2.5? Houston's going to dominate.
We've been saying it, Stan. It's going to be Houston-Duke, and it's Houston-Duke, and we'll see what happens. Here we are.
Houston scares me. Like, Kelvin Sampson scares me just because his identity has never changed. Like, they are a built-on tough team. And now
they're
not
going to give you an inch.
Yeah. Now that they have the shooting, because there was a point in the second half where Tennessee kind of like crept back. It was a 10-point game. And then Emmanuel Sharp hit a three. And then Emmanuel Sharp hit another three. So then it was like, ah, oh, fuck. Like, all right. Like, they're good.
It was inevitable.
We'll see. But, whew. I don't know. Houston goes back to the Final Four for the first time since 2021. But I feel like Kelvin Sampson is getting a lot more praise than he did now than he did back in 2021, just due to the circumstances of the world that was going on back then. No fans.
Yeah, but also the consistency COVID. They've had. I mean,
yeah. And you have to think about it, though, too. Like, a lot of NBA guys coming from Houston. A lot.
They're a good program.
Grimes, Shed, I know, there literally was someone, and I'm blanking on who it is, of course, because I can't even, like, the guys that Kelvin Sampson has produced at Houston has been, like, ridiculous almost, because you wouldn't think, like, 10 years ago, Houston, like, was that ever, like, a thought?
No, that's what I'm saying. I mean, no, they're finally getting consistent recognition. I mean, you go back in the day, they've had some, jeez. Hakeem,
yeah,
Clyde.
Hakeem and Clyde, yeah. But then, like, ever since that, like, it never really worked out for them. And now I'm trying to find all the NBA, like,
Damian Dotson.
Yeah, I wouldn't consider him.
There's not a lot. I don't think there's a lot of them.
No, there's been a pretty good amount.
No, I know. I just think there's four in the NBA right now.
I know there's four in the NBA right now, but, like, there's... I'm trying Houston NBA. It's gonna pull up a Houston Rockets roster. Ah, whatever. Fuck it. This is gonna be embarrassing when I'm editing this, but whatever. Grimes, Shed,
Armani Brooks.
Yeah, he was pretty damn right. No, I can look it up.
Marcus
too.
Cousins, not DeMarcus.
Damon
Jones.
Marcus Nassar. Hang on. Houston Cougars NBA players.
Marcus Sasser, Drace Walker, Taz Moore, Quentin Grimes, Jamal Shedd. Yeah.
Yeah, Jamal. Yeah, no, they've had, like, pretty...
They've had some guys.
They've had some guys. Houston players in the NBA. Here we go. Quentin Grimes, Marcus Sasser, Jamal Shedd, Jarace Walker. You could also include Damian Dotson, like, Danuel House. Sorry, he's way young. Actually, no, he was a Samson guy. Sorry. Yeah, but they've actually
produced
some guys now
more recently than in the past. So I'd watch out for them as a program. I know they've been fucking pretty good for the last few years, but going forward for the next 15 years, they'd be a powerhouse school. So,
And now they're in the Big 12 too. So it's like, they're getting the recognition that they deserve. When they were in the American, it was like, okay, yeah, they're good. But, like,
they're playing better teams.
Then last but not least, Auburn takes down Michigan State 70-64. Jani Broome has his Willis Reed moment, goes down hard on his elbow. Silence in Atlanta. You think he's walking off the floor, it's over. And then all of a sudden, basically with one arm, comes back in, hits a three-pointer. Auburn moving on. Let's just talk about this Final Four, because I'm so excited. I am. Let's start with Auburn and Florida. Florida's getting the 2.5. The total's at 159.5. My thing with this, the last time these two teams met, it was in Auburn. Florida did not have Elijah Martin, and Florida put bell to ass on Auburn on their home floor, and it was ridiculous. I couldn't believe what I was watching. Especially without Elijah Martin as well. And now just to think that, like, you know that, like, tall Canadian kid?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know he's a redshirt freshman.
Yeah, the 7'9 kid.
Yeah, yeah, the 7'9 guy. Yeah. Florida has him. Good luck.
Yeah, and I know this is Florida's definitely the heavy favorite here, I would say, for most people picking, but we've been shit talking Auburn this whole tournament.
We have.
This is the team to get out.
I mean, there's a lot of ifs here.
But they're here. That's the thing.
I just think I'll take Auburn to win it
Right, like we've been
I'll
trashing
take Auburn
them
to
all.
Win it just because there's like the revenge aspect. You're playing an in-conference opponent.
They're the underdog, like they and they're a one seed, and they've been an underdog.
And like there were so many like stories with Auburn going into the year where, you know, there was the fight in the plane, and then they had to go play Houston, and they beat them. It was on like a semi-neutral site because it was at the Toyota Center where the Rockets. But still, that was pretty big. And then that's when the world was introduced to Tahad Pettiford. That's the key here. The guard play is going to be incredible. You're going to have LJ Cryer and Milos Yuzan of Houston taking on Tahad Pettiford. Like, that's where dreams are made of. Because that's going to be very exciting. And I cannot wait to see that. The key here, honestly, it's just offense. Like, it's going to be a who scores more.
Can Auburn score more?
The big man battle is going to be very interesting, too. Like, we all saw what Thomas Hack did, going up against a guy like Jani Broome, going up against a guy like Dylan Cardwell. Also for Florida, there's I always fuck up this guy's name. Ruben Chinyelu? Yes, Chinyelu.
Don't look at me.
I know. you're the worst with that. He only played 10 minutes in the Texas Tech game, only had 2 points and 2 points and 5 rebounds. Alex Condon wasn't really efficient in that Texas Tech game. Only had 7 points, 7 rebounds. They cannot afford their big men to be traffic cones, especially
gotta be
when
active.
You're going up against guys like Broome and Cardwell. Another interesting matchup is the Chad Baker Mazzara matchup between him and honestly, I think it's going to be either Will Richard or Elijah Martin. Also, the guard play, too. Pettiford again. Am I stupid?
You said it earlier, but I went over it.
You
yeah.
should have corrected me. Holy fuck. I'm so sorry. Tahad Pettiford and Walter Clayton, even though Tahad Pettiford is coming off the bench. I don't know why I was thinking Houston.
It's because they played before. We were talking about it earlier. It's okay.
They've played before, yeah. Between, so now Pettiford and now I'm blanking on the name. There was the Tahad Pettiford and Denver Jones, who can shoot the hell out of the ball. Same thing with Miles Kelly. Like, the 3-point shooting's going to be a key. It's going to be a lot of offense. A lot of offense, and I can't wait to see it, but I just think that Auburn's going to scrape out of there. And also, Jani Broome, he would have to get his arm amputated if he wasn't playing in this game.
Obviously.
And he says he's 100% ready to go.
Put some ice on and take an Advil. I swear I've been throwing and need Tommy John surgery my whole life, Stan. You know,
yeah.
you take four Advil, you put some icy hot on it, you're good to go.
Right, you're right. Next up, Duke. Taking on Houston. Here we go. Like, this is Duke's favored by 5.5. Total is at 135.5. My thing is, I just heard something.
Can you hear that singing?
I didn't hear singing. I just heard something else. The key to this game is going to be size. And I jokingly say this, but size is going to matter. size does
it's
matter.
Gonna.
Houston. You know, they're physical, they're tough, but the thing with them is they're very small. LJ Cryer, 6'1". Emmanuel Sharp, 6'3". Milos Yuzan, 6'4". Joseph Tugler, 6'8". And then Jawan Roberts is at 6'8" as well. We look at Duke. Sion James is how tall, and he's going to be your point guard? Like, I don't know how they handle this. I don't know how they handle this matchup.
Physicality
is going to be the key. Sion James, 6'6". Tyrese Proctor, 6'6". Con Knipple, 6'7". Cooper Flagg, 6'9". Kaman Malawach at a whopping 7'2".
Yeah, like, they faced size before. They just make things super uncomfortable for teams. That's the
they
key.
Just make yeah. That's the key. And also, here's the thing: these two teams played last year in the tournament. And I don't want to, like, you can say the Jamal Shedd injury all you want. I don't care. Passes in the past. There are two guys remaining on that team, on that Duke team. And one of them didn't even play. Caleb Foster was out for the year with an ankle injury. Or, sorry, with a stress fracture. No one on that Houston team really left. All they brought back was Milo Suzan. So, they're still kind of running the same thing. With Duke, on the other hand, you don't really know what you're going to get. And I'm not undermining Kelvin Sampson here. I'm basically saying that there's... I don't know. He's going to have his work cut out for him.
Yeah.
Also, there's a possibility of Malik Brown coming back. That's great. Great defense for your center. If Malawach isn't really living it up defensively or offensively, really. Because there have been lapses this year where Kamon Malawach hasn't really been that physical. We saw it in the Arizona game. He sort of toughed it up in the Bama game. But the big man matchups, I see the guards, but the big man matchup is definitely going to be something to watch out for.
I think for me, I mean, if Houston could do what they did against Tennessee, and I'm not saying Duke is Tennessee by any means, but if they can control the game early and they could keep it low scoring for Duke, Duke hasn't really played from behind in a lot of games this year. And I feel like that's going to be super uncomfortable if you go into that second half and Houston's got like a, I don't want to go exaggeration here, but 8-10 point lead going into that second half. Can they claw
You're
back?
Not wrong. I mean,
we'll have to see, but Houston's a scrappy team. They're going to fight till the end. Yeah. So
there's a lot of keys to this game to the point where, like, rebounding's one. Houston's the best offensive rebounding team in the country. I think if you look up offensive rebounding percentage on KenPom, like, they are the number one team. Obviously, the physicality is going to be a big factor too. Where are my notes for this?
And for, I cannot believe I'm missing. Rebounding's not all size. I mean, you look at Josh Hart. It's timing. It's timing more than anything. And you can time it well, and you play physical.
And you also said that, you know, Houston likes to set the tone early. Duke's got to do that as well.
If Duke gets out to a stretch, then it's hard to come back.
There have been plenty of games this tournament for Houston where they have jumped out to a lead. Like, we saw it in the Gonzaga game. I'm not really counting the 16 seed game because that's whatever. We saw it in the Gonzaga game. We didn't really see it in the Purdue game, and that's honestly just because Matt Painter is just an offensive genius. But we did kind of see it in the second half where they kind of jumped out to an 8-point lead to within the first 2 minutes of the second half, and then Purdue was able to come back. And then Tennessee, Houston was able to set the tone immediately from the jump. You just felt it.
And that's what Duke's got to avoid. Duke has to not even they have to set the tone. They just can't let Houston get into that flow state where they're very comfortable and they're moving the ball
also,
super well.
We have to be physical, but we also have to be physical without fouling. I know the meme of Darvin Ham can test without fouling, but that's actually a thing. That's not
fucking Darvin Ham.
I know. And also we have to attack the matchups on the smaller defenders. Like I mentioned before. LJ Cryer 6'1", Sharp and Uzan are 6'3", Sion James and Proctor and Knipple, 6'6",
and it's
6'7".
Not even, if you can establish the paint early, that leaves the 3-point line open, so if you can work it in, you can work it out.
Of course. I mean, we'll see what happens, but Tim, what are you thinking? I mean, I'm already a biased pick.
I can't really say. I think Duke's the better team. I think they should win this game, but I would not be shocked if Houston could scrape something together. I think it's just one of those things. We're in March, and again, Duke's been so heavily favored all the way throughout. This is the real first.
Yeah,
I want to say not on par matchup, but almost the same kind of team. You know, same skill level. So we'll see what happens.
So Houston taking on who?
Oh, I don't think Florida wins that game either. I think it's Auburn. We've been shit-talking Auburn for how long?
And who wins it?
Oh, it's coming out between Duke or Houston. Whoever gets out of that Duke-Houston game, those are the two best teams left.
So for your case, you think Houston takes down Auburn?
Or Duke. Again, I don't know who's winning this game. I don't have a pick in this fight. I don't know who wins this game.
Okay.
It comes down to one of those two teams.
Okay. It was just funny seeing Malik Brown, setting a screen in practice today, and I thought I, won the lottery. But... Here we are.
It's March.
Here we are. It's March. I mean, this is only April.
It's actually April now. Yeah, I forgot.
Yeah, it is. Speaking of April, it is baseball season. The Mets get a much-needed series victory.
Thank God. Oh, my God. The bats are stale. But Pete Alonso's back.
Pete Alonso's back. But pitching...
Yeah, it's.
I told you.
It hasn't been outstanding to start. I loved what I saw from Griffin Canning. I actually thought that was a really good performance from him. He was working that slider well. Kodai Senga, yeah, I know. Rough. Yeah, it wasn't great. A lot of strikeouts, though. The swing miss rate was good. If he can start controlling that forkball a little bit more and stop leaving that fastball over the plate, we'll have some.
Clay.
Yeah, you know what? It wasn't great yesterday. He gets a lane. He's a big ground ball pitcher, which I do appreciate. He's like a John Neese kind of guy, but it's the walks. It's the walks for me. He's got to get control down.
There were a lot of blown saves for Clay last year where, like, you can shit on him, but it was like, fuck, like, that's just unlucky.
Yeah, I know. And you know what? It's better that he's in the starting role now. He can, you know, at least clear his head a little bit more. He's not relying on that so stressful one inning, but... He needs to get his control down. He's not a traditional starter. This is his first year transitioning over. The first start was good. I thought it would get better to the second start. There was more strikeouts, but not as efficient, I would say. The walk rate is a little too high. But again, it's a control issue for him and Senga. They can just find the zone.
Are we worried about Lindor and Vientos?
I am not worried about Lindor. For some reason,
I would be worried about Vientos.
Oh, I'll get to him in a minute after yesterday. But I'm not worried about Lindor.
Runners in the corners, one out.
There was fucking three errors yesterday, Stan. He couldn't make a play at third base.
Why is he still playing third base?
I don't know. But Beatty's not a better option. I mean, the throw from second. I'll get to the game. I want to talk about Lindor first because at Mets fans, you're used to this by now, and I still don't understand why. Why? I don't know what he does in the offseason. He just had his kid. I figured he'd start to pick it up. He's making contact. There's a lot of rolling over, though. It's his timing. That's the thing I see a lot. He's in front of every ball. His weight is always shifted forward. His hands are rolling over. I mean, once he puts that together, he'll be fine. Vientos, on the other hand, ugh. He's killing me, dude. He's killing me at third base. And the main savior for him last year was his bat was just so efficient and electric that, you know, you couldn't take him out of the lineup. There was no reason to take him out of the lineup, even if the defense wasn't great. This year, he can't hit, and he can't make a play for the life of him.
No.
I know it's early, but geez, Luis, you don't want to have these errors just constantly lingering over you.
Like, that play of Vientos at third base... Like I couldn't believe it.
I mean, he airmailed first base on one of them too. He couldn't make a fucking yesterday.
So for those that didn't see it, there were runners at the corners with one out, and the ball was hit to Vientos, and he immediately threw home.
Yeah, and the infield was in.
Why was the infield in? You could have turned a double play, and it would have ended the inning.
Well, the corners were in. The corners stayed back. Fair. Yeah. So you bring the corners in. I mean, the play's not at home. I think argument to the B was that we wouldn't get the runner at first, so you want to try and save the run. Fine. But you can't airmail the fucking
catcher. You got to make that play.
You're not, like, you have time to get set. And
who was hitting? Do you even remember?
No, but I think he was a fat, he was someone with speed. That was the argument, was that he wasn't going to get him at the double up. But even so, if you're going to go home, just set and throw. It wasn't a good day in the field.
Oh, it was Lopez.
Yeah, it wasn't a good day in the field for him. It wasn't.
Yeah, plus, he was hitting from the right side, too, so he doesn't have that advantage of
being
a lefty and being quicker to first base.
It was not good.
Doesn't make sense to me.
He couldn't make the routine plays, and I know it's early. We've only played six games. I think as we gradually get to May, we maybe see Acuna get some reps at third base, maybe let him get it, because you're not going to, I mean, let's be honest here. I love Luis Angel, but that second base spot is way too crowded for him to get a chance. And when Ruscio comes back, I guarantee he gets, you know, a few reps in.
When is this?
Oh, the setbacks, man. So he keeps getting set back. Manaea got set back too, if you didn't see, which is not good at all.
I did see that. Yes.
So Ronnie got set back, I think, over spring training. He said it wasn't the progress they were hoping for. And we really haven't got a report since. I'm telling you right now, Stan, I will die on this hill. I've been saying it for years. Out of the three of him, Beatty, and Vientos, he is the best out of all three. He's the best pure bat out of those three guys.
He is a switch hitting shortstop. Who has pretty raw power.
And his exit velo would be last year, he had the hardest hit ball on the team. It would still be the hardest hit ball on the team for guys this year. Like, he's one of those guys with an electric bat. And like, I need him back. I need him back.
One more question. How has the Juan Soto experience been?
You know, the walk rate is fantastic. I will give you the walk. It's been great. His chase rate is up this year. He's playing. I feel like his mentality is a little bit more shifted towards what it was with that last year with the Nationals, where he's playing a little bit too much hero ball. And I get it. You just signed a huge contract. You want to make a splash. I think, you know, you kind of get settled in. We haven't even played at home yet, so I'm not going to get too crazy.
That Are you going was Friday great. Or tomorrow?
No, I got offered tickets, but I'm not going. I'm going to a series in Fenway in May, actually.
I think that's the weekend I graduate, if I'm not mistaken.
Get in the fucking car and just drive down.
I'm gonna go. Actually, no, it's not. I think it's like after I graduate, but it's a wedding week for me.
Oh, there you go. Big wedding, man.
Yes, it is. It's a very, no, never mind. I'll tell you after.
But I will say, I've liked what I've seen somewhat from the Mets so far. I need the bats to get going. The pitching's been, I want to say it's been serviceable so far. The bullpen, well, it's early. Michael Young, I hate.
But it's early.
We'll get to it. It'll fix itself. It'll fix itself.
Yankee side of things, I mean, the 20-run game, and we could start with that just because, you know, the whole torpedo debate kind of sparked
Everyone's,
off
I don't
that.
Care. Who cares about that?
I don't give
that?
A fuck anymore.
No one cares.
I really don't. It doesn't change the way I think about it.
It doesn't do anything. It's a like, fucking baseball bat, dude.
Yeah. And do you see the bat companies now?
What are
they? Like, oh, get your torpedo bat. Meanwhile, it's like they were made specifically for that player.
Yeah.
So it's not like you can get a torpedo bat and you're going to start hitting. Like,
no,
that's not how
it
fucking works.
That's why you see a lot of the big guys, like Judge doesn't use one, Soto doesn't use one. Like, guys who are still, they're not going to fucking just switch. I mean, it's a baseball bat. Like, nothing. It's not just going to drastically change anything.
It's not going to change. Like, Boone said it best. It's just like those torpedo bats were made specifically
for guys
for
who
those
make
guys.
Contact there. That's where they make contact with the ball on those people. Like, that makes sense.
Like, I just don't understand. The
it's
fact
not
that
helping
there was
Lindor.
Just like,
look at Lindor's batting fucking .48. Yeah. Not
wasn't
helping it.
wasn't fucking helping Devers either.
Yo,
like,
it might be hurting Devers, dude.
It hurts Stanton.
It literally did. Causes two elbows to fucking give out.
Elbows. I this sport has just been revolved around controversy forever. The spider tack. Like,
it was so, you know what? There was nothing like this when small ball was around, all right? It was get it down, move him over, let's play some baseball.
Play some fucking ball.
But you got a runner on second, no outs, you bump that man over. I don't care if you're the three hitter, you bump that man to third.
Bump that guy to third base right fucking now.
You do your job.
Exactly. And that was just baseball back then, but now it isn't.
Which is some, you know what? I will give the Marlins props. When they did that extra inning, they had the guy at second, laid a great bunt down,
laid
moved,
a great
him to
bunt
third,
down.
Moved him to third.
That's a smart baseball.
That's how you play.
Smart baseball.
I can't wait to coach a Little League team, and we're just like, you know what? Guy at second, you're bunting that ball. I don't care who you are. I don't care. We're playing small ball all year.
Oh, my God. Imagine if, like, we each had a Little League team. Like, you would have one team and I would have the other. Yeah, it would be a chess match.
You're like a Bronx Bombers type team. You're like, we're living
like
time for a home run.
There's a runner on second. I'm like, I know what's happening here. I'm like, pull the corners in.
We're going. We're still getting it. We're getting it through that hole.
Like, oh, fuck.
We work on the push bunt, dude. I'm getting those gaps right in between third and short, right where the pitcher can't get it and the third baseman can't get it.
Fun fact about one of Tim's Little League coaches, he did not let the other players crowd the plate when a kid on the team hit a home run.
Who was that? Oh, okay.
I don't want to name names, but you know who it is. That was wow.
Yeah.
Honestly, I appreciate. I hated it as a kid, but now as
I get it, there's a mutual respect.
There's a mutual respect here.
Yeah.
You're not hitting a home run in a 19-1 game.
No.
And crowding home plate. No, you're gonna fucking
take some pitches. You're not stealing. You're not doing anything crazy.
Doing anything. No. What makes you think you're so special? Because you hit a fucking home run.
Stan, if we had Little League teams and one of your guys pimped one, the next kid that comes up, I'm going to the mound. I'm like, you're gonna hit this kid in the head, and I'm gonna look over at there, and I'm gonna give him a wink.
Coach, why are you rolling up your sleeves? You'll see.
We might have to fight.
You'll see. Give me about five.
I'd probably get kicked out of every game, dude. Fun fact, my dad got kicked out of Little League All-Star Game, and you know he's listening to this, so there you go. That's a good one.
When did he get kicked out? Like, All-Star, like, district? Like, the summer All-Star?
The All-Star. I'm pretty sure it was an all-star game. It was definitely, he was definitely said some things he shouldn't have said and had to apologize to some parents, but it was funny.
How have I never heard the story?
Dude, Little League was intense, man. Some of those dads were putting their life on the line out there. Mr. Yeah, Russo was pen to paper every game. He knew what he was doing.
Yeah, the boss, Aunt Russo. Yeah. Shout out him. Christ. We were just about to talk about the Yankees, and then we just led to torpedo bats, and it just led to...
Yankees hit some nukes, man.
What if we coach a Little League team? Let's start with... anyway, the 20-run game, yeah, great, whatever. I will say the 3 home runs and 3 pitches.
Pretty nice.
That was
the wind
nice.
The wind was blowing up. Yeah, the wind was definitely blowing.
The wind was pretty fortunate to us.
I think every one of Volpe's home runs wouldn't have gone out in any other stadium, dude. They've all been like 300 feet.
Two stadiums.
Sorry, two. My fault.
And we just so happened to play in both of them.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Oh, jeez.
We just so happen to own both stadiums.
Yeah, great.
Which is a joke. I mean, know. I'll say this. I give the Rays credit because they were able to turn Steinbrenner Field into their own like thing. Like, there's Ray shit everywhere. Like, there's all this. The shit in Sacramento, there's not a logo in sight.
They don't care. They really don't care. Then you know what? The thing is, I heard people saying, too, they're like, what happens if it works out in Sacramento? Like, are they going to stay there? It's clearly not. No one cares.
It's clearly not
going
to work.
They're not even trying.
They're not.
And they have a decent...
Not.
I know the record's not going to show it, but I kind of like their...
They have a pretty decent roster.
I like their lineup, yeah.
I like the way their lineup... Unfortunately, I like the way their lineup looks.
Yeah, I know. It's weird.
And, like, Seve throwing 6 shutout?
And screaming on the mound? I mean, it's...
I mean, that's just vintage Seve.
JJ Bleday is picking it up. Lawrence Butler's pick. Kind of like this team, man.
I do like this team.
All right, back to the Yankees. We're sidetracking like crazy. Yeah.
I love Brent Rooker. Who doesn't love that guy? Homered yesterday.
Yeah, he did.
Yes, he did. We need to find like a money home run guy.
You got it. The one guy.
It's so hard. You just got to be lucky.
Sneaky 20 bomb guy who gets one every 5 games we can always rely on.
Yeah. Like, we need a guy like that.
Yeah.
We need a guy like that. Anyway, Yankees, let's start with the Milwaukee. Not Milwaukee. We already did the Milwaukee. Arizona. The first game was, I think, Will Warren looked pretty good outside of that home run to Carroll. He was able to work himself in and out of trouble. That was good. The kids did great. Dominguez, home run. That was a shot. Volpe, big home run into left field. Got fortunate off the errors. It's the bullpen. And... I feel like asking Luke Weaver to get 4 outs on April 1st is a big ask. So I'm not like,
yeah,
it's
early.
Like,
you can't.
I don't mind it. Just Leiter's got to be better. And he hasn't been better.
Yeah.
It was just, if that splitter was just a little bit lower, we'd possibly be talking about trying just to get a series win and take 2 out of 3.
But yeah.
Yesterday, Rodon.
You guys can't hit those two guys on Arizona. I mean, you're really
struggling. Suarez and Marte. That's kind of what it is.
Yeah, but the pitching, who threw? It was Gallen and...
Oh, it was Gallen. Well, Burns, we did a pretty good job with.
But Gallen, you guys have such trouble with him.
And he had such a bad start to start the year. So you knew he was going to toss a gem.
Yeah.
And then...
But he's got career 1-3-3 against the Yankees. I mean, he just pitches so well against you guys.
Yeah. But what was I just going to say? Oh, Rodon. I understand we're paying him $162 million, and that's a lot of money. But we cannot pay a guy $162 million to be just serviceable.
Yeah.
Especially with how bleak the rotation looks right now.
Hey, both sides. Well, New York's got some bum up pitching
right now. We cannot be like, he was all right. But, like, you know, we're paying him top money to look like this.
It's tough.
It's, I don't know. And I still can't get over the beards. I can't. I don't think there will ever be a time in my life where I'm like, okay, I can get used to this. I'm a fan of the facial hair policy. Like, I'm a fan of it. It's just going to take a while for me
to get used to it. Yeah.
Yeah. And the whole lineup thing, too, with the Yankees right now, where it's like, you know, it was Wells at one point. Then it was Goldschmidt. Then it was Goldschmidt because, you know, a lefty was on the mound. But then we scored 20 runs, and it was like, okay, so we got to keep the lefty out there, or keep Goldie at leadoff. And I was like, okay, we put up 12 runs. It's like, all right, let's roll the same lineup. Why not? But it was because Wrighty on the mound, but then Burns has good reverse splits or whatever. So we kept Goldie leading off. And then he did it again, and it's like, all right, at what point are we going to, like...
Is he the new Anthony Rizzo? Are we doing this again, really?
really, and now, like, he gets a day off, so now it's Ben Rice leading off. And I our lineup today is certainly interesting, to say the least. I think, Wells has a day off, so now it's Ascara, and, like, I don't understand. I also don't understand that why we're pinch... I know he rakes against lefties, but why are we pinch hitting Pablo Reyes at every point when we have Oswald Peraza?
Yeah, I know. I'm the same way you feel about him, the same way I feel about Jose Siri getting at bats.
Who is like, it? Peraza and someone else. I think Peraza and Jones might turn into the new Frazier Andujar.
Really?
I don't think. I just don't think Spencer Jones is that good.
What is Clint Frazier even up to these days?
I don't think I think he's overseas.
He was supposed to be your guy, dude, for like the longest time.
Yeah, and then Aaron Judge happened.
Yeah, I know.
That's kind of what Clint Frazier, I believe he retired.
He was in San Diego for a minute, wasn't he?
No, he was in Chicago with the Cubs. He was with both the Cubs and the White Sox. What he's doing now, I think he just like roasts old Yankee beat reporters on Twitter. He's with the...
That's all he does.
Oh, he retired. He retired on July 3rd.
There you go.
Retired from professional baseball. Like, damn. God. He was awesome. It sucks that he had to go like that, but he was awesome.
There's a ton of guys. Dom Smith for the Mets. I know he's still hanging around, but...
Minor league contract with the Yankees.
Yeah,
there's
I know.
He'll be starting by June 5th.
Is he the new Adam Ottavino? He went Mets, Red Sox, and Yankees.
Now we have Adam Ottavino, too.
I thought that was an April Fool's prank, dude.
I thought so, too, but here we are. Hopefully we cut him by the time Devin Williams comes back from paternity leave.
Dude, you don't want Adam on your team.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't want him on the team. I don't give a fuck if he had a 3-pitch strikeout in his one appearance. I don't give a fuck.
He's not
good.
Get
him out of here.
Yeah.
He's not good.
No, he's not.
He's also 38 years old.
The
he's
age is,
40.
Yeah, I know. The age is really getting there. The velo doesn't seem to really sit down, but he just sucks.
I know Tim Hill was like he's had like a resurgence, but like...
Well, what's his face in Atlanta?
That guy's a lefty throwing sidearm, so it's pretty different.
What's his face in Atlanta that only played pitches good in Atlanta?
Oh, they DFA'd him. Yeah, Jesse Chavez.
Jesse Chavez, yeah.
Yeah.
Look at those splits, dude. Those splits when you look at them. They're ridiculous.
Speaking of Atlanta, they suck.
Thank God.
Yeah, Tim's rejoicing. I saw Peter tweet something. He was basically saying, like, you know, the Mets started 0-5 and everyone was declaring them dead. Let's kind of settle down the Braves here.
Acuna's not even back yet. I wouldn't go
Acuna's
crazy.
Acuna's not back. Strider's not back.
Just huge for that. He needs Spencer Strider more than anyone.
Ronaldo Lopez, I believe he had arthroscopic surgery on something. I don't know what it was. Austin Riley's not hitting well. Ozzy Albies is not.
Well, that's
well.
You
no
know
one's,
what? For me, Stan,
no one's
that's
really
the biggest shock.
Well.
I thought Austin Riley could somewhat pull the low. I really think he might be the best third baseman in baseball when he's playing well. So,
oh, he is absolutely.
It's well, Jose Ramirez. All right, that's a stretch. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, he's a top three guy when he's playing well, but he is not playing well at all.
He's also on my fantasy team as well. So I would also like for him to perform.
You got one last night.
Pretty well. He got a hit last night. I just don't understand. I know everything's been bad right now, and plus we're also 7 games into the season.
Oh, it's so early.
And the pitching's been bad. I know it's early. You have a nice bounce back series against the Marlins at home in front of your fans. You have to sweep that.
Yeah. Well, you have to win one game.
At least 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
And then
it's got to be some sort of positive.
But here's the thing, though. You cannot afford to these bad starts do matter. Like,
especially against divisional opponents, dude.
Especially against divisional opponents, too. And also, how tough the division is.
It's probably one of the hardest divisions in baseball. I would say both Easts are probably the top two. I mean, you could say the Dodgers just because it's the fucking Dodgers, but.
Yeah. Let's just take a look at the Braves' schedule. Like, who do they? They play tomorrow, correct? If I can find. Oh, here they are.
It's
thank
unfortunate.
You.
What I mean? How do you just you have a horrible opening series and then you got to go to LA and play the Dodgers?
So you have 3 against the Marlins. I think that you're good. Then the Phillies come to you.
Not good.
And then the Rays who have a pretty good pitching staff right now.
Yeah, they can't hit, but they can for sure pitch.
Yeah, you're going to George M. Steinbrenner. You're going to Steinbrenner Field.
Yeah, you're just going to Florida.
It's still like a surreal thing to
your divisional
about.
Rivals playing at your stadium. Like, that's a weird just concept to me. You couldn't pick any other one.
Yeah, but it seems like they're getting fans out there, though, because it's actually in Tampa.
That's the, I mean, obvious, that's the pro, and this is like almost, I'm not saying this is a blessing in disguise that the stadium's sort of taken a hit, but that was in the worst possible location. Nobody wanted to go there. No one.
No one. It's a shitbox.
Yeah.
It's a shitbox. Any other baseball news that I'm blanking on?
Well, we should probably mention the Padres are 7-0 as well.
Yes, the Padres are 7-0. I believe the NL East is a combined 27-3.
I mean, I can look.
4. Let's take a look. National League West.
The Giants are
8-7 is 15. 25-8. Combined 25-8.
Yeah,
if this just, Padres.
Yeah, the Rockies. Thanks for carrying the load, guys.
Yeah, way to go, Rockies. Way to go. They're just happy to be here. So 7-0 for the Padres.
Are they legit?
In a year where we all thought it wasn't, where a lot of people were worried,
this might be the year they kind of fall off.
And lock in Jackson Merrill. Fernando's playing well. Manny's playing well. I believe Dylan Cease, Yu Darvish is also injured. You have a Randy Vasquez looked pretty good against the Braves. I know the Braves can't hit right now, but he looked pretty good. Michael King.
They're just a good team, dude.
This is a good team with a very good manager, too. And I believe it's still Bud Black.
Yeah, and you know what?
I've always liked Bud Black.
It's an underrated lineup. Like, when we talk about the best lineups in the league, I feel like they don't get mentioned that much, but this team can fucking hit, dude.
They don't. Like Tatis, Arraez, Machado, Merrill, Cronenworth, Bogarts, Sheets, Iglesias.
Yeah, which is a great backing guy to have.
Especially when
Arraez can't hit the fucking ball.
Yeah, that is true. And I believe your full-time catcher is Elias Diaz, which is the fact that they even have him is ridiculous. The fact that The Rock disband at this point. Really? Like the one guy that's been like, watching Chris Bryant play baseball right now is depressing.
Like from where he was to where he is now is one of it's like Javi Baez on crack, dude. It's you win an MVP and now you're just like this horrendous.
I agree. I don't know.
That whole team stinks.
Anything else baseball wise? It's just happy 7 it's down. Back. 150 something to go.
I'm so excited, dude. I fucking love baseball. I love when baseball season comes around. There's always something to watch, dude. You're bored at night. Fucking, I got MLB TV, Stan. Throw on a game. You want to watch a game? Go watch a game.
Yeah, why not? Why not? Let's go to New York hockey. It's been pretty depressing. Despite Gabe Perreault making his debut, Tim has had his head down for a while. Wow.
It's actually making him really upset. So bad, dude. They went from like.
I'm happy that Perreault made his debut. I feel like it was a right call to make. I don't like them burning that first year, that entry level contract, though.
He's making the team next year. You might as well just give him reps. And you know what? Like, I'm not saying they're throwing in the towel for the playoff push, but I feel like there's a realization where, like, this isn't our year. Yeah. You might as well give him some reps to start, and then we can work around it next year.
What really. Kind of like who do we? It seems pretty clear that Laviolette's getting fired. Who do we even decide to hire? Like Darren Drieger was like, Jim Dolan loves John Tortorella. I was like, there's no fucking shot.
They brought back JT. I don't know. I don't think that happens. But
I don't think it happens either.
Patty Waugh might be out of a job. I don't like. Who knows? Yeah. The coaching carousel in the NHL is always nuts. And
could Brunette go?
Yeah.
Because that's been a disaster. But then at the same time, it's like, oh, it could be another Laviolette where it's like, it looks good the first year. And then the second year is like, meh. It's like a drastic fall off.
I don't know. There's so many questions. I mean, this is like off-season issues. We're going to have to really just take. This is like.
Like we're talking off-season issues.
And
when
the season's still like, going on.
What? 16 days away from the playoffs?
Like, it's unfortunate that this has come to this. Isles are slotted at a top 10 pick right now. Like, that's how bad it's been going. And if they continue to lose, they'll have a chance at the one, which I wouldn't hate because Hagens is from Long Island. And if you're in that top three area,
you're
some room around off get a little chance because the NHL, everyone knows NHL, unlike all the other ones, the top three teams all have the same,
same
chance to get that pick. And it might not even be those top three teams. We've seen the Rangers jump up. We've seen the Devils jump up. We've seen a lot of these teams jump up.
But didn't they change like the format of that ever since the Rangers got Kako and Lafreniere?
I don't think it's like anything like crazy different.
Because I remember them saying something. I was like, oh, this is the Ranger rule. There was one play that kind of made me laugh. And it was just like, this just describes the Rangers this past season. Literally, Perreault makes an incredible pass to Lafreniere. Like, destined. Only people that you could see are him and the goalie. And he, like, wipes out and falls on his ass.
Yeah.
I was like, yep.
For me, the kind of nail in the coffin for the Rangers is that Ducks game, dude. How do you blow that one? And then the OT winner was...
I went to bed. Oh. And I got a text, and they were like, the season's over. I was like, they lost?
Dude, that goal, they go to OT, and they just let him set up immediately and snap it around. I was like, oh my gosh, this looks like...
There's a lot of people that have to... Kreider's got to go. I mean, you could argue Mika.
It's an
Keandre
overhaul.
Miller, I think
we're looking up both sides of this, Stan. I mean,
shit's got to change.
The Islanders are even a worse spot. We're older, we're worse, and the thing is... I know power play and penalty kill have been an issue, dude. They haven't scored a power play goal in like a month, and the PK is constantly getting worse.
We're 2 for 41.
Our power play percentage.
Two of our last 41.
Our power play percentage is, I think, at a whopping 10.9%. Yeah.
Fuck.
Stan, we scored more shorthanded goals in like the last month than we have power play goals.
Brutal.
It's really, let me see right now, it's the worst in the league. Oh, they got it up, so it's at 12.4%, but the penalty kill percentage, which is also horrible, is at a whopping 72%. So yeah, they're bottom in the league in everything other than face-off percentage, which they lead the league in somehow.
Yeah. I was looking at, because, you know, I'll be honest, and you can call me fair weather, whatever. I think I declared the Rangers dead in, like, February.
You were right. Like, I had hoped the Isles, I should have done the same as you.
So I've kind of been, like, off on
fence,
hockey
yeah.
and, like, on the fence. Yesterday, I took a look at the Stanley Cup odds on FanDuel. And right now, the favorite at plus 550.
Dallas.
The Florida Panthers.
Oh.
Florida Panthers. With Tkachuk out for the year. And plus, they are third in the Central, if I'm not mistaken. In the, not the Central, the Atlantic, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, they are.
The Dallas Stars at plus 600. They are second in the Central. The Avalanche at plus 850. They are in third in the Central. Vegas. I'll just say this. In the top six, the only team that, in the odds, the top six of the odds of teams to win the Stanley Cup, the only team that is first
Toronto?
In their division... Vegas.
Wow.
At plus 1,000.
Do you want my, from someone who's been...
is this like a postseason experience thing?
Yeah, well, obviously. I think you gotta...
Because...
You look at...
I'll say this. I'm looking at the Tampa Bay Lightning at plus 1,100.
I was just about to say
thinking,
that.
Why not?
If you're going to take anyone, they've been the best team in the league for the past 2 months. Yes.
Especially now, when they made all those trades. Like,
yeah.
Think about it.
I'm 100%. I'm not. That was the team I was going to bring up, if anything. I think you give Florida the advantage. They won it last year. It's the same thing. You can't not, you know, they've been a good team.
They've been a great team.
Dallas, the deals they made at the deadline, the way their roster is constructed, I get it. They're on paper probably the best team in the NHL. The Colorado, the X Factors, whatever. If you look and watch how the Tampa Bay Lightning play hockey, they are night and day the best team in the NHL. And unfortunately, I had to watch it twice in the past 4 days, and they kicked the Isles' ass twice. They snap the puck around. They play defense. The goaltending's excellent. Vasilevsky, since the trade deadline, has been the best goaltender in the NHL. I think he's a 9.34 save percentage, so he's been fantastic. Their back end's electric. They've been getting point production from everyone. Braden Point's taking that next level jump this year that I didn't even know he had. You pair that in a line with Gensel and Kucherov, you lose Stamkos, you get better. I mean, they've been snapping it around like it's nobody's business. Their power play is unbelievable. Their penalty kill has been unbelievable. this is the team for me. And I said it maybe, I don't want to say trade deadline, maybe even going into the year, I was like, listen, they're a team. I mean, last year, they were the team that you can't rule them out.
The Bjornstrand and Yanni Gourde pickup. Ridiculous.
Yeah, no, it's just, their lines are constructed well. They're deep. They're fast. They're physical. They have skill. They're just top to bottom. And they have great. John Cooper's probably the best head coach.
John Cooper's the best head coach in the league.
You're you look at his team and you're just like, what
the fuck? They also got Radish too, right? Didn't they pick up Radish at the deadline?
They're a good team. They're built well. They're constructed well. They've done a really good job in the past few years. And
you place $10 to bet on the Tampa Bay Lightning to win the Stanley Cup, you win $110.
I don't hate it. I really don't. That's my pick if I'm going with anyone. The only team in the East I could see knocking them down, Stan, really, in the East is maybe Carolina, maybe. And that's like a heavy maybe because they've been playing pretty well too.
Washington?
No, I think Washington's the most fraudulent team in the league. I'm sorry. I don't think they're power play merchants. They're constructed well, and they have a great defensive backup.
So let me stop you here. So here is how the playoffs look to shape up right now, because right now that second wild card spot in the Eastern Conference is a revolving door.
It's a pain in the ass. That's what it is.
Yeah.
So we could just leave it alone, dude. They just get it so we could just stop worrying about it.
You stop. Yeah. Maple Leaf Senators. They're the first wild card.
Yeah. So, but look at Tampa.
That's a pretty big gap, if I'm not mistaken.
Right? Oh, yeah. They're like 84 points. Yeah. But look at Tampa's on the horse right now. Tampa might jump that one spot.
Okay. Yeah. Tampa, Florida.
If you're a Tampa Bay fan, that is the worst first round
matchup.
Worst possible matchup. You don't want that.
Hey, third time's a charm, though.
Yeah, maybe.
You think about it. Third time's a charm.
Maybe.
Washington, Montreal. I cannot wait. For the sake of the league, the fact that Ottawa and Montreal are in the playoff picture,
it's great for Canadian hockey.
I just want to see Canadians in the league.
Yeah,
I know Canadians aren't the most popular people in the world right now.
The Bell Center in Montreal is insane during playoff time. And that, you know what, Stan? Maybe I'm just hating on Washington. I've seen them play. I just don't think they're anything too crazy special. I know they're very efficient. Montreal could beat them. Montreal's been playing fantastic the past few weeks.
Montreal has only season series is at 2-1 in favor of Washington, but the recent game, Montreal took down Washington in overtime. And then Hurricanes Devils, which is probably the most boring out of
The Devils are just such a...
They suck.
What are they? I don't know what the hell they are.
They lost their fucking identity once Hughes went out for the year.
Oh my gosh.
And they're just lucky that below them suck.
And they got off to a hot start. That was the big difference.
Fortunate. We go out west. It goes Winnipeg, St. Louis. St. Louis is the hottest team.
The best team in the NHL right now. They've won 10 games in a row. They're the best team in the NHL.
I know we were just glazing Tampa, but what is it, 10 straight St. Louis?
St. Louis has won 10 in a row. And we're just talking strictly off recent play. That team is unbelievable as of right now.
Dallas, Colorado, which as a first-round matchup is insane.
Why does that happen? It happens way too well. I want to see these teams down the line, and they play each other.
They gotta bring back the 1-8.
Just reform.
The 16-team playoff was great.
What's the
one
harm,
versus eight,
dude?
Two versus seven. What was wrong with that?
I hate playing.
What was wrong with that?
The Isles put Carolina 15 years in a row. It felt like in the first round they lost every time. I didn't want to keep seeing it, dude. It just wasn't gonna work.
Then Vegas, Minnesota.
Yeah, Minnesota's not winning that, unfortunately.
And then L.A., Edmonton for, the 50th straight year.
Oh, well,
give me a fucking
fourth
break.
Time for them, is it, fourth time's a charm? Because it went seven.
As of right, six, five, if I'm not mistaken.
Now it's four, if you can't. Yeah, so can Edmonton win in four?
Here's the thing. L.A. would get the home ice advantage.
And if you're watching NHL right now, Draisaitl and McDavid are injured, so...
Oh, yeah, I didn't know that.
They are both out. And if you're an Edmonton fan, you don't even want to play them the rest of the year. You just want them back and healthy. You do not want to even touch with that.
And plus, I mean, no, never mind. The nearest team in the Pacific is It's Calgary.
Yeah.
It's dead. It's deader than dead. Now I'm like excited for hockey playoffs now. See what you got me doing?
It's always exciting, dude. And a team like St. Louis can go on a run. Like, that's exciting.
And I'm excited to watch
new teams.
This as a new teams and as a neutral fan where I'm just like, all right, my team's not in it. I'm not stressed out.
Yeah.
I can just watch hockey and enjoy it.
I know.
Because honestly, like, let's all be honest. I'll put my hand up. I'll be honest. Before this podcast started, I will say, like, elementary school, middle school, high school, like, I was a Ranger fan, but I did not know, like, the league like I know the league now. And I hate to sound like a bragger and be like, oh, I know puck, man. But, like, no, like, ever since I started this podcast, I feel like my hockey knowledge has expanded.
And once you understand everything about, like, the league in itself, when the playoffs roll around, it's like, holy shit, this is insane. Yeah. Like, this is...
Yeah.
And you got teams like Ottawa, who hasn't been in the playoffs since 2017. And the last time...
Montreal hasn't been... I mean, Are we count the last time Montreal made a real playoff?
Yeah, well, they made the Cup final in fucking 2020. So
that was so fake.
I know,
like, that was absurd.
The fact they beat Dallas though, and Vegas. So
they beat Dallas.
No. They beat Dallas and Winnipeg.
Who
beat Vegas? I don't know. Who cares?
Carolina Nashville first round game.
Oh, dude, that year was the Rangers were like the 24 seed. Henrik Lundqvist was in net. The Isles, run. They were like the 15 seed. It was the weirdest. There was six teams that didn't make the playoffs, dude. And the fact that
we were one of them.
You guys stuck it in. No. For the bubble.
The bubble.
There was six.
I thought we were talking about the other fake.
There was six teams in that bubble that didn't make the playoffs. Imagine being one of those six teams where you're just like, dude, are we really this bad? Like we didn't even get the invite.
are we really this bad? Oh my god. Anything else? This is a good hockey talk.
Yeah.
I feel like we haven't touched up on hockey in a while. Well,
our team sucks. It's hard to
watch.
We
don't want to talk about it. It's a very tough watch.
Anything new that I've seen? The Sabres are on a little bit of a run. Oh, this is, you know what, new to us, Dan. This is like the first year the Bruins haven't made the playoffs. They're the worst team in the Eastern Conference.
So who's the worst team in the Eastern
Boston
Conference?
Bruins. So if you're a Bruins fan, good pick coming your way.
God's good.
Yeah.
God is good. Holy fuck. I didn't even know that.
Yeah. No, they're bad.
That's bad. That's
Sabres
really
jumped
bad.
Them, dude. That's when you know.
Rip. Like, why would you fire Montgomery? Like, he wasn't the issue.
Trade Marchand for a second.
Marchand. Like, oh my god.
They signed the wrong goalie. Like, they had the Swayman talk all the way
it's
through.
It's the fact that they traded him to Florida
for a bag of peanuts.
For nothing.
Yeah, for nothing. And it started, I feel that it started before the year. That whole Cam Neely lockout. Like, they didn't sign Swayman. Yeah. They were doing the trade with Omar.
Funeral food be so good. I don't even know what the fuck I'd be eating.
it's just.
Fuck you, Boston.
Exactly.
Fuck you.
Exactly.
I hope Marchand. I mean, I know we have Tampa and it's setting up for a possible Tampa-Florida matchup in the first round. I hope Brad Marchand wins a Stanley Cup just to fuck with him.
Scrappy win for that team, dude. They're gonna play hard nose. I mean, Ekblad's done, but they're gonna play hard nose, dude.
Yeah. Oh no, he'll be back game three, round one.
Yeah, 20 games, whatever. It's weird. Like, you get PEDs in the NHL, you can play in the playoffs. You get in the MLB, it's like you're done for half the year.
You're done for half the year. You can play in the regular season, but don't even think about
you're not even
playing in the
October.
Postseason.
No. Get out of here. Never heard of it.
I'm just excited. I'm excited. And now you have me curious. I might be looking at hockey bets now. Like, see what you have me doing.
Yeah, well, you know what, Stan? I'm not very good at those. So I watch a lot of hockey and I don't like it's such a crapshoot every night. You got no fucking clue.
I go on Reddit Sportsbook and
you take a peek.
I just take a peek.
Take the over in all the San Jose games for the rest of the year because
there's a guy laying a 170.
Did you see Celebrini got his car hit by the Rangers bus, and then they lost 8-1 the next night?
Yes. I don't.
Tough stretch right there.
Awful. That team needs God more than anything.
They got a bright future, but right now it is ugly. Ugly, ugly.
That's definitely for sure. So Hagens is at Boston College currently?
Yeah. Yeah, he's at BC right now.
Okay, so, like, he doesn't play for a national team? Like, so how is he eligible for the draft this year when, like, I'm just basing it on – this is my lack of knowledge of, like, how the draft works. Because, like, Perreault was at Boston College.
Yeah.
And got drafted.
So Higgins was...
And was still able to play.
Higgins was 17. He skipped a year and jumped up to BC. So he's actually a year younger.
So he reclassed, technically.
Yes, yes.
But basically how the NHL draft works is you have to be 18.
So it's your draft year. So yeah, like once you turn 18, you're eligible for the draft. And then... So it goes...
Wait.
It's not even by 18. It's literally by your draft. So 03s are drafted. Like your draft year comes up.
Oh, so it's based on the year that you're born.
Yes, the year you're born. Yes.
Okay. Yes. Okay. So because like, I was like, well, Cooper Flagg was 17.
Right.
But now he's like draft eligible.
Right. This all it is just 1 year of college for the NBA. But it's literally your draft year. So like Perreault, he played, what, U18s at the World Juniors. Then he went to...
Yes.
Yeah, right. So that he was playing U18s. Like he was playing for an 18U team pretty much in a juniors division. So essentially, like, not like his first year of college was, but, like, instead of that, like, senior year, I guess, kind of thing, like, he turned 18, you play that year of juniors, then you get drafted. Because they're in then a junior division, so they're in, like, a division with, you're not going to know any of these teams, but, like, they're in, like, the USPHL, so it's like a...
Yes. Yeah. I know what that is.
Yes.
I know what that is.
There you go.
All right, moving on to what I saw... Tim, I have an interesting one because I was wanting to get your opinion on this. The Masters commercial came out.
Just use the real song, dude.
Okay. All right.
What are we doing?
And this is no hate to Noah Kahn whatsoever because I think he's a great singer.
I hate him because of that one COVID on the Plane song. I couldn't stand it.
I don't like
Shopper
Liquors. He's got other shit.
Go for it.
Like,
yeah.
That's pretty good.
Not that song, but, though. It's Ray Charles. It's the song of Georgia. It's literally the national, not the national, but the state song is that song.
It's just weird seeing a guy from Vermont singing about Georgia.
I know. Like, I know. You're singing about I'm living in the cold and he's like, Georgia. And I'm just like, get Ray Charles. I don't like, just bring it back. What's the point? Why would you switch it up?
Masters next week. We're going to talk Masters.
Who's winning it, dude? Bryson?
No. Fuck. Ludwig? I don't know. Yes. Maybe.
Let's get my brother's been following it the whole year. We'll get him on and get some talks going about it.
We could. You could just give us some tidbits. Yeah. Like, we're definitely going to have a make the cut parlay.
Oh, yeah.
Year's hit.
We should get a whole little Masters preview. We haven't done that yet. Just the whole preview.
We haven't
preview
done that. Just a whole ass preview.
Why not?
Masters.
Why not?
Well, because here's the thing. We'll be fresh off the national championship.
Yeah, true.
So we got to talk about it.
We can do national championship posts individual and then fucking just go straight.
We could do it right after the game. We could do it right.
Yeah, and then just
actually,
go straight.
No, we can't do it. We could.
Well, Duke wins, we can't, but.
I mean, last time I got made fun of doing a podcast, last time I did a podcast in my living room, I got made fun of for talking too quiet.
Well, we'll figure out the details. But I would love to do a Masters little preview because that'll get us a whole landscape of the field. Does Tiger make the cut? Are we really.
He tore his Achilles.
He said he was getting healthy and playing, dude.
That was an April Fool's joke.
I know.
Joke,
I'm
dummy.
Fucking with you. He's done for the year. After his mom died, it was pretty much a given that he was playing.
Yeah,
he said he didn't hit balls for like 2 months.
Yeah, like that was kind of it. Yeah. So I just thought I'd pick your brain on the Masters thing.
I hate
the news. I like Noah Kahn, but again, it's very weird.
Who was in a boardroom and was like, "This sounds better than Ray Charles." Like, no offense, but like, who the fuck said that? Like.
Yeah, but it's just weird seeing a guy from Vermont singing about Georgia.
It's just weird hearing anyone other than Ray Charles singing that song, dude. Like, I want to hear that one. I want to hear that version.
No hate to Noah Kahn. He's got great music. I was listening to Northern Attitude the other day. Great song.
Yeah, I don't know that one.
Tim, you should get on that.
I'm
listen to the one with Hozier.
All right. I'm more of a mess around guy by Ray Charles, you know? Like, let's get the mess around. I love Ray Charles,
good
dude.
Lord.
I absolutely love Ray Charles. I have a ton of Ray Charles songs downloaded on my phone. Like, I love him.
I believe that, yes.
Yeah.
I believe that. All right, Tim, you're what I saw.
Did I see this week? Oh, my gosh. Well, I mean, I shot a 74 at the Sim. That was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
But what else did I see this week? There had to have been something, like, out of the blue I saw, but I don't know if I saw anything crazy.
No meme? Like, you didn't see... I mean, you could get to see me winning a national championship.
Yeah, that could be. That could be nice. Fuck, did I not see anything? Like, anything crazy? I mean, the Patty Waugh thing was nuts. It just made me sit there and
have to play. Also, the Villanova thing, too, kind of. Like, you saw that with the coach?
What?
Like, Maryland's coach left Villanova, officially.
Yeah.
Like, I don't blame him, but, like, the fact that I don't blame him, but, like, the way the way Willard handled that
was
absurd.
Yeah.
But also, I don't blame him for leaving because Maryland's athletic department doesn't really give a fuck about Maryland basketball, they're putting all their money toward football. When, why are you doing that?
No, I don't know.
Conference, you're not beating Ohio State.
You're not beating anyone.
You're not beating Michigan. You're not beating Oregon. You're not beating Penn State. You're not beating USC.
Stick to lacrosse.
And after what we saw, what Sig did at Indiana, I don't think you're beating Indiana for the next couple of years either.
Stick to lacrosse, like, dude. And track. Shout out Cliff. Shout out Cliff Cardi.
Yeah, shout out Cliff.
Big Knicks fan.
Yes. Big Knicks fan. Yeah, anything you got? We could skip you.
I don't know. I got anything. I don't know. I can't think of anything out of the blue. Oh, I saw some. All right. When I was driving back from the sim,
okay.
Dude, I saw some dude on one of those, like, I don't even, like, the hoverboards, but they're one wheel and, like, you're, like, feet. You know what I mean? Like, you just stand on two sides and you lean forward and there's one wheel in the middle. It's in between your feet. I don't know if you've ever seen one.
You're just
things.
Asking to be paralyzed.
Okay, right.
Running.
Yeah, you would think that, right? And I'm driving on the bridge and I'm going, like, flow of traffic, dude. We're going, like, 30 over the bridge. And this guy's just in the other lane bumping heavy metal music, like, helmet, wrist guards, knee guards, shin guards. And he's like, nodding his head and he's just going, like, 10 miles an hour on this little fucking circular whatever one wheel, and the guy behind him is losing his mind. I'm like, what is this dude doing? There's a bike lane on the bridge, like, oh, next to all you do is move over.
I will
and he's
never,
on the road. Like,
speaking of road, I'll never forget my senior year of high school. Tim, do you know the hill down by 304, like,
yeah,
the giant hill,
yeah,
you go up and you're near the church?
I
saw a kid on a skateboard, like, his stomach was on the skateboard and he went down, and I had like an adult moment,
woman,
even though that was a senior in high school, where I was like,
he's going in oncoming traffic on 304. Yeah. It doesn't seem
like
a good
idea. Oh my God.
Yeah. No,
like, what is your problem?
Yeah. It's not ideal. Ideal.
You have to know that, like, kids in our town, very stupid
morons. Yeah,
and I'm going to talk about something about a kid in our town that was also very stupid. But
one kid that burnt down our Evan Park slide.
They burnt down the Evans Park.
Remember,
slide?
We didn't have that right. We got that red slide put in because some. Oh, you didn't. That's why it got burnt down by some kids. They lit it up with, like, a lighter and, like, burnt a bunch of holes into it.
I will say, though, I remember kids spray painted Kanye lyrics on the high school wall, and it made the news.
Was that the high school or the middle school wall?
The high school.
Well, I remember seeing,
like,
one.
Was a king to a god.
That's funny. I remember the middle school one was they got the middle school wall by the gym doors and, like, in that
corner.
They
did something, like,
someone,
very stupid.
Yeah, someone spray painted all that, and my mom was so mad about it. I was like, "Why? You don't? What are you, like? What?"
Wasn't any of your kids?
Yeah, I was like, "Didn't do it. What are you mad about?"
I could just see your mom walking in, like, open your backpacks. Yeah. I need to see if they're spray paint kids.
You remember when we had that that fake bomb threat in high school?
Oh my! And they kept us in the school.
Yeah, which one made no sense, but
But like, I do understand, like, the balls of them being.
Did you,
like,
leave?
Yeah, it's not
happening. You leave early?
No, my mom wouldn't let me.
Yeah, yeah, same. I had the same boat, dude. Everyone in the high school leaves early, and my mom.
My mom walks
into the office, dude, and she goes, "Oh, it was fake." And me and Matt's just standing right there for her to pick us up. She goes, "Go back to class." I was like, "All right." I was like, "I guess I'll go back to class."
That's insane.
I was like,
"Well, I just, like, remember texting her." She's like, "All right, I'll pick you up at dot dot dot." Sent the text 2:40. I was like, "Fuck you."
Yeah, no,
you're not gonna die.
I know. I got the heavy. My mom was like, "Oh, it was fake. What am I doing here?" I was like, "All right, I guess I'm staying."
I called it a work for this.
Yeah, I know. Like, I guess I'm staying.
You fucking pussy.
Yeah, you. Yeah, now I'm getting reamed because I just wanted to go home.
Just take me home, please. I remember, like, people were, like, leaving. I was, like, sitting in a class of, like, eight people.
It was, like,
for the rest
four
of the
people in all of my class. I'm, like, in the class. Yeah. Like, what are you guys doing here?
That was
here?
Also, like, insane.
I know. How, like, but all the teachers were like, "What are you guys still doing here?" I'm just like, "I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine, man."
Yeah. I guess we're alive.
Yeah, whatever.
I will never forget that bomb threat. I was sitting in the cafeteria, and the time, it happened like 8 years ago, so I think I can share every detail.
Oh my God. We were there for like 2 hours, dude.
We were there for the whole day.
Yeah, it was absurd.
What do you mean we were there for 2 hours?
I know.
We were there for the whole day.
It was absurd.
We're in school for the whole day, not the cafeteria.
I was in the upstairs building. I was in a room upstairs. It was awful.
Someone wrote like with a Sharpie on the bathroom wall.
I'm gonna blow this
place is gonna blow up at this time. and I was in the cafeteria for it, like my lunch period, and everyone's staring at the clock. And then 11:40 something hits. You could hear a fucking pin drop when the clock struck. You could hear a pin drop.
Moved over one.
And then after 5 seconds, we were all like, all right, we lived. We lived.
Yeah, that whole day was so ridiculous. Like,
there's no way.
That whole day was
so... And then
the
next year, we had a shooting threat.
Oh, my... Yeah, for like... She was like, what, like 15 minutes? And they were just like, all right, yeah. Whatever.
That was also insane.
I don't know. There was like, always,
there were a lot of things.
We got in so much trouble, and this is a lie. I'll leave on this one. In middle school,
okay.
We got in so much trouble in who's the music teacher?
Regardless. I know who you're talking about, but yes.
We have a sub that day, and it's a lockdown drill, and we're sitting in like a back corner room, and I forget who it was, but someone rips the loudest ass I've ever heard in my entire life.
I know this story, yeah. And I'm blanking on who the person was.
And everybody in that room just starts dying laughing. Someone's like, hey, yo! And I'm sitting there crying laughing. Dude, the cops come in. They're like, what are you guys doing? And we're just like, I'm sorry. Like, you guys are making so much noise. I can hear you in the hallway. Anyway, long story short, come in, whatever.
You think, like, the cops there were like, these kids are funny as hell.
I wouldn't be. I'd be like, all right.
Yeah.
What are they laughing about?
I'll never forget we had a lockdown drill in, like, eighth grade. For those that don't know, eighth grade is the high school.
Yeah.
Still is the high school for our district. I was sitting in eighth grade English, one of my favorite teachers of all time, Miss Arnie. Shout out her.
She hated me.
You know, she did. She loved me.
Hated me, dude.
Dude, she's one of the goats. But anyway, she hands everyone, like, she had these, like, stuffed animals. Like, oh,
stress
her,
animals or whatever they were. Yeah.
These, like, those, like, little, like, stress animal things. So, we're having a lockdown drill. She hands everyone, like, a freaking stuffed animal. And we're all like, what the fuck is she
what
doing?
Are we going to do with this?
She goes, okay, so when someone opens the door, you're going to throw it. And I'm like, what?
So
I was like, and she, like, her real thing was like, you know, if because this is a drill, you're throwing stuffed animals. If this was real, you're throwing chairs. And we're like, okay.
They open the door to a room full of people.
Open the door, and there's like like a full of fucking peewee babies.
Out, just, oh. Yeah. No.
Oh my god, that was a time. Remember when I donated blood?
Oh,
and that story was told the other day, and I
that shit is bad.
All right, we'll leave off with this one because this one's all time. So Oaks actually was my gym teacher junior year of high school, and he convinced me and a couple other kids to donate blood.
I was one of them.
You were not one
not
of
in
them.
your group. I donated blood that day.
Did you?
Yeah. Oh yeah,
yes,
I milked.
That's
I gave
right.
platelets, dude. I milked the shit out of that. I skipped every class that day. They were like, where are you? I was like, I feel woozy. I need some more cookies. And I just literally would go down there and hang out. Like, I was like, I'm not going to class.
Like, so anyway, Oaks convinces me to donate blood. And my one experience with donated blood was a Family Guy cutaway where Lois opens the cookie store because everyone thought her cookies were so good because she got it from a blood drive. And Peter was like I think Peter was afraid of getting his blood drawn, and it was like nothing. So then I was like, oh, it's nothing. Just get my blood drawn, whatever. So I go over there, second period, back gym. That is like no windows, like the most depressing.
It was raining that day too. It was
no, it wasn't. It was sunny. It was sunny.
In the morning when I went, at least, it was not light out. It was not a good day when I went.
Okay. All right. I'll believe you there. So anyway. I go over there and I'm like, okay. So I'm like sitting there, like waiting. Boom. One goes down. A kid goes down. And I'm like, oh, fuck.
They were dropping like flies that day, dude.
Dude, it was absurd. And I literally, like, that's like one of my biggest fears. Like, that and dying is like, and like not remembering what happened. Like, when I black out off from alcohol, like my next day, like my anxiety is like through the roof.
Every Saturday, man. I'm kidding.
But anyway, so I go, and I guess I like overhydrated for this. So like when I was done, I had to pee. So I said to the person, I was like, would it be all right if I like use the bathroom when I'm done. And she goes, yeah, but you need an escort. So I was like, okay, like, I get it, liability, whatever. Get off. And I'm like, I'm about to piss my pants. I was like, get me to that fucking bathroom, like, right now. And I guess, like, with the amount of blood that I lost, like, my head wasn't there. I could just say, all right, I may have passed out.
It happens, dude.
I don't really remember.
You
I don't remember.
It happens, man. It happened to a lot of people that day.
The thing is, I don't remember, like, waking up somewhere and being like, oh, fuck, like, lying down. Like, I remember, like, still standing. Yeah. I remember being like, whoa. So they put me in a wheelchair. Mind you, this is during the same time that there's a gym class going on. It was one of those, like, combined gym classes.
And there's lunch. Like, and there's lunch, by the way.
And there's a lunch period going on, too. And, like, the cafeteria's on the same floor as the gym. I'm being wheeled, and there's, like, a gym class of, like, 120 kids, and they're all staring at me. And then I go to the bathroom. Like, everything's, like, the guy was, like, I was ready to, like, beat that guy's ass. Like, the guy was, like, following me, and, like, I understand, like, the whole, like, liability thing, but I'm like, you do not have to watch me pee. Like, I'm okay.
I need a better angle.
you do not have to watch me pee. I'm all right. So I'm done. I sit back down. I'm wheeled out. All of a sudden, look who walks into the bathroom. Mr. Terrence Mulvey. And he's like, what the fuck am I looking at? So I'm like, yeah, whatever. I'm like, this is bullshit, but whatever. Like, I was angry.
Yeah,
I was
obviously.
Yeah. Terrence goes back. Terrence goes back, tells everyone. And as I'm being wheeled back, I just see Oak sitting at that desk, and he's laughing his ass off. I was like, you motherfucker. Like, you. And then a rumor starts rolling around.
It was 100% scans.
No, it was dirt, I thought.
It had to be one. It was one of the two, dude.
I heard it was dirt. I remember
it
was
dirt.
I heard
it from Scans, because Scans told me Stan shit himself. I was like, what?
No, Dirt definitely told some people, but no. The rumor that I heard, the fake rumor that I heard was, I passed out, and as I was, like, unconscious, I pissed my pants.
It was like a bunch of things swirling around. It was like,
so stupid, yeah, but of course, you know, it's high school, people believe it. But it was,
funny story, the funny part of that story, I want to prove again, there's that blood donor card.
I don't have a card. I'm never doing that again.
Terrence was in no position to ask you questions, so when he was given blood, he was next to me, we're both doing platelets, right? It's me, Terrence, Scans, and then I forget who the other person, maybe Odie. I think Odie was there.
Yeah.
So they're taking whatever, they put the needle in me, and for the first, like, I'm not even exaggerating, I'm not even trying to, like, act like a fucking warrior, but for the first, like, 3 minutes, I'm, like, sitting there, and I'm just talking to Scans, and I was like, are we gonna start yet? And then she was like, the needle's been in you. I was like, what? And I look over, I was like, all right.
Oh yeah, you're like, you don't even know.
No, I had no clue. So I was like, alright, whatever. I didn't realize. I look over, Terrence is as pale as a ghost, dude. He says to the nurse, he was like, I can't see Jack in front of me. And she was like, what?
I remember this.
She was like, I can't see Jack in front of me. And she was like, all right. She pulls someone over. They turn him upside down. So now he's just giving blood with the blood rush into his head. So the whole time he's giving blood, he's looking up. And I could not stop laughing because I turned my head.
No, they probably, like, just lifted his leg.
No, dude, because the chairs could move. Dude, they moved it down so they to get more blood circulating his head so he didn't pass out. They put his feet over his head, and they had his head tilted.
Yeah, that's what...
I know, but the feet didn't go
over his
head.
The head
was tilted back because the thing, it was like one plane, so it had to move backwards. And it was funny. I looked over, and he's like looking up. He's like, I feel better. And he's like, hey, his face is all red, and I'm just like, I'm glad, dude. But yeah, it was funny.
Never donating blood again after that.
I wouldn't mind doing that. They give free meds tickets sometimes. I'd do it for that.
I wouldn't. I'll sacrifice. Sacrifice.
Yeah, they give two free tickets, Stan. I'll do it for us. So I'll give some platelets.
Okay, fair. I'll sacrifice the 20 bucks plus the trainer.
This is really the last part because we're running long here. My cousin used to get blood in Virginia Tech. They would give him money. Yes. He would give blood to get the money, then go to the bar and get shit faced off two beers. Like, that was the routine because you have no blood in your system. You get so hammered.
Yeah,
so quickly.
You could just get wasted.
So he would get cash and then take some of that cash and just go to the bar and get hammered.
That's awesome. All right. Wow. Did not expect this episode to run this long, but whatever. All right. That's going to wrap it up. Be sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. Be sure to like this video on YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube. Be sure to leave a comment on this video as well. Be sure to follow us and rate us on Spotify.
5 stars.
5 stars only. Got the outro perfect. Let's fucking go. And we will see you guys next week. We'll have a national champion.
Yeah.
And we're going to preview the Masters. Should be pretty fun.
It goes from March to April real quick.
Hopefully it will be fun. Praying. All right. Peace out, guys.